Take out your notes as you're as we're passing the buckets by. We're going to be continuing the series called Discovering Hidden Gifts at Christmas. There are many gifts that need to be discovered, a lot of them that may be very plain and visible that we see, but I think the best gifts are oftentimes kept to the last moment, and when they're revealed to us, it's like the best gifts ever. In your notes, you have a beautiful colored brochure that gives a synopsis of all the messages we'll be covering in this series. Last week, we started off with the gift of courage. We talked about Joseph and the gift of courage that he showed us and how we need to adapt that into our own lives in this Christmas and in our season of living. Next weekend, we'll have Dr. Furushima. Randy Furushima is a professor at our Pacific Rim Christian College. He has a great knowledge of the Bible as well as cultural events that are surrounding the Christmas story. And he'll be talking about a gift that King Herod will give to us. Even this evil king has a gift that we can all take home with us. I'll be in China, by the way, and that weekend, the trip that I was supposed to go on, we are actually going to leave this coming Wednesday, and I could covet your prayers. I hope to come back. I want to come back. If I'm not back, don't call Wayne. Just call the jail and tell him, let me out of there, because I got to get home. But we'll be covering, when I get back, the three gifts of the wise men. Now, we know we brought to the Lord gifts of frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there's another gift there buried deep within it, and we're going to unravel that and see what we can take away from these three wise men. And then we'll have our Christmas services, as Sean told you about, Christmas Eve services and our Christmas weekend. Today, we'll be talking about a different gift. A gift that many of us don't like to talk about many times. It's a gift that we discover in the midst of pain. We're going to catch up with Mary and Joseph in the Christmas story. We talked about last week where Joseph found out that Mary is hapai. She's pregnant. She's carrying a baby, and it's not his. And she says, yeah, it's God's. Yeah, right. Okay, he's worked himself through that. With the gift of courage, he was able to work himself through that scenario. And now he needs to go from where they were, which is Nazareth, down to a city called Bethlehem. It was about 60 to 70 miles away. The only way they could travel there was through the Donkey Express. And so he had a ways to go, about 3 to 4 days' journey. Now, why did he have to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Well, the law required them to register in his hometown. So that's where he's heading, in his hometown. In the book of Luke, we find that they get there, and it says this. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. They were in a manger. She had just given birth to a baby and placed him in a manger. Now, we sing songs about that, yeah? Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. And we sing that as a lullaby to our little ones. What a manger is, folks? Yeah, that's a place where the cows gather, the cattle were lowing, the poor baby sleeps. It's a place where the sheep gathered. It's a place where the donkeys hung out. That's a place where not only were they gathering there, they would leave things behind there. Not a pleasant place to have a baby. Flies all over, bugs, insects, things crawling in and out of the straw that they laid on the ground so they could clean up better. It was a manger. Now, how did they end up in a manger? Let me put this into a little bit more cultural context here. They needed to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Joseph's hometown, which tells me there must have been relatives of Joseph living in Bethlehem. They must have had uncles and aunties and cousins that they could have stayed with. What were they doing in a manger? Well, here's Joseph. Here's Joseph trying to make arrangements ahead of time so when they get to Bethlehem, they'll have a place to stay. I can imagine him calling up on his iPhone. Hey, uncle, yeah, we'll be in town soon. It'll take about maybe 3 to 4 days. Yeah, Donkey Express, we're leaving. Yeah, Mary, she's fine. Yeah. No, you heard right. Yeah, she's hapai. She's pregnant. Yeah, it's not my child. No, I don't know. I don't think she slept around. She told me it's from God, and I got to take her at her word. In fact, there was an angel that visited me and told me that it's from God. Uncle, hey, uncle, you still there? Uncle, we're coming by. You got a place in your place? You got a place in your house? No, we just need a little bit of... Uncle, no, listen, Uncle. No, it's not that bad. Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, talk to you later. Hey, Auntie, how's it? Yeah, Joseph. Yeah, we're coming in. Oh, Uncle already called you. Okay, yeah. She's a really nice girl. Yeah, we've been together. No, it's not my child. I know that's a problem. But we just need a place to stay, just a few days. She's going to give birth and... Oh, Auntie, come on. Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. How do you think he felt? Maybe that's his cousin. Hey, cuz, yeah, brother. Yeah. Yeah, how's the surf there? Yeah, Bethlehem. Not up yet, huh? Oh, okay. Hey, I'm coming into town, yeah? And, she's not my wife. No, you heard right. Yeah, she's up high, yeah. Hey, come on, cuz. I just need a little bit of time. Come on, just give me a break, man. No, I know it's going to be hard. I know what the neighbors might say. Oh, come on, brother. Can you just think about it? All right. Okay. Uncles, aunties, cousins, no room in their house. So where does Joseph go to? Checks out a Motel 6 or a Holiday Inn or someplace. And it's not in the Bible, okay? I'm just thinking through this because he ended up in a manger. How do you end up in a manger? Goes up to the receptionist. That is my wife. I know you've heard some things. Do you have any room? No, you can't. Look, buddy. I've gone through this. I'm getting a little uptight. Forgive me, but your sign out there is blinking vacancy, okay? You can't tell me you got no room. You're advertising that. I know that what the law says about sinners. She's not a sinner, okay? She's not an adulterous woman. Come on. You got anything? Manger. How do you think they felt? You know what's painful, folks? What's painful is when we're rejected. Especially by the ones we thought would love us the most. That is very painful. When a child rejects a parent, what kind of kid are you, man? I raised you all these years. And we get rejected. Painful. When a parent rejects a child. Hey, you're my mom. How can you act that way? You're my mom. When a spouse rejects another. Those are painful moments. You know what's the most painful of all, though? Is when we project that to God. God, you're supposed to love me no matter what. Your Bible says, and I read through this, come on, God, I know your word, that you will never leave me nor will you forsake me. God, how come I feel so forsaken right now that you ain't answering my prayers? That I feel like there's nobody out there I can talk to. And I thought I could come and talk to you and even you won't answer me. Painful. How do you navigate life when you're being rejected by the world? When you feel like you're being rejected by God? How do you navigate through those seasons? Mary and Joseph knew how to do that. That's why even though they were rejected by loved ones, even though there was no room in the inn, they were able to live and push their way and endure the pain of all that, where in the end, a Savior was born and we celebrate His birthday. How did they do that? I think it's because they knew that God was not going to be a seasonal God. That God was a God. They were going to rejoice in His name no matter what. Good times and the bad times. They knew what David wrote in Psalm 34. Let's read that together. It's in your notes, very top. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. I will bless the Lord when? At all times. They knew that. It wasn't good times or bad times. It was all the time. God was not a seasonal God to them, and neither is God a seasonal God to you. He's a God that is with you through all times, and we need to learn how to bless Him in all times. Let's try something, okay? Play along with me on this one, right? Everybody stand up, okay? Everybody stand up. Okay, everybody stand up. And I want to try something. I tried it with our midweek services last week. I want to know if I'm talking to the same church, okay? We're in a basketball game. The score is 100 to 100. And God is driving down the court. And at the last second, 1 second left, God throws up His prayer shot. And it's a three-pointer that goes in at the buzzer. God's team wins. How do we cheer for that? How do we cheer for that? God wins. Woo! Right. Yeah, we cheer, man. He sunk that shot at the last second. All right, we're in a basketball game. The score is tied, 100 to 100. The devil is driving down the court. There's 1 second left. He throws up his prayer shot, and it goes in. The devil wins. How do we cheer for that? Let's hear it. Let's hear it. How do we cheer for that? Hey, it's not the same church I was at midweek. Okay, let's try this one, all right? The score is 100 to 0. The devil just won the game. Buzzer goes off. 100 to 0. How do we cheer for that game? Let's hear it. How do we cheer for that? Boo. Not certain, huh? A lot of uncertainties. Read Psalm 34 with me once more. All right? Ready? Go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What is the Lord saying to us through David? We will bless the Lord when? All the time. Which means when the score is, when God wins at the last second shot, we praise Him. When the devil sinks that shot, guess what we do, folks? We praise Him. When the devil wins the game 100 to 0, we praise Him. I'm not cuckoo now. Now listen to me. Listen to me. When the Lord says praise Him at all times, He means at all times. Although we may lose that game, although that day may not turn out the way we want it to turn out, God still wins in the end. He's already won the championship, folks. We're going to lose a game here and there, but God still wins in the end. So that's why we praise Him when? At all times. Let's hear it. How do we praise Him when the game? Yeah, so the game is done. How do we praise Him? Yeah, you scream your head off. You scream your head off no matter what. The good times and the bad times. In the rain and in the pain. In the sunshine and in the clouds, man. You praise Him all the time. Amen? Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. It's a very important point that Mary and Joseph knew that no matter where they had to sleep, they would still praise Him. They knew that this, number one, would you write this in? Although life may seem to be unfair, God is not. God is not unfair. Although life may seem to be broken and unfair, God is still there for you. He will still be there to love you. He will still be there to pray with you. Now, you might be saying, well, I don't know this God thing, man. I don't know this God thing. I don't understand it. In fact, I'm so angry with Him. I don't even care what He says. Now, even though you feel like that, God is still praying for you. God is still loving you. God is not unfair, folks. I don't know how people who don't know Christ live through this world. I loved it when I was a kid to have these games. It's called Connect the Dots. You know, you have all these dots on a piece of paper, and you got the numbers, and you go from one, okay, two, three, four. Now, I don't know why I got to go here, but yeah, it says five, six, and we connect the dots. You know why we love to do that? Why I love to do that? I wanted to see the context. I wanted to see the whole picture. I wanted this to make sense to me. Now imagine if you had a sheet of paper with all these dots, but there are no numbers on them. How are you going to connect them? How do you know if I go from this dot to this one, and then I jump down here into this one, how do I know if that's the picture that's supposed to come out? We don't know that if there are no numbers there. Now listen, folks, if you don't know Christ, life is going to be a random set of circumstances to you. You're going to see dots on a piece of paper, but you will not know how to connect the dots up. It's just not going to make sense. You're going to go through good times. Oh, that sounds pretty good. That looks pretty good. Okay, well, maybe I'll go here. That feels kind of good. Oh, that's kind of painful. Now, how do I make sense out of this thing? You won't know how to do that. It's only by believing in Jesus Christ and knowing that He is the Lord and Savior that loves you at all times that you'll be able to connect some of these dots up, because He's already given you the numbers. He's numbered that page for you. But before you get to know Jesus Christ, you don't know what those numbers mean. We try to make sense of it. And we push God away. God is loving you whether you like it or not. God is love. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to demand it. He loves you anyway. And when you are in your darkest times, when you are in your weakest moment, that's when God comes to you and He'll hold you the closest. Why? Because He is. I have a little boy. He's 8 years old now. He was 3.5 when I adopted him from China. And one thing that he had then that he has still has now, he has legs. He loves to run. He just runs all over the place. When he came from China, didn't quite understand English, but we took him to Disneyland. We're having dinner after a long day of activities. And I said to my wife, you know, the waiter isn't coming. I'm trying to close out this bill. Why don't you go up to the room with him and I'll come up later? So they left and I'm waiting and the waiter finally comes. I pay the bill and I walk away. And I can see from a distance what this little guy is doing. He's running from his mom. We're in the hotel and he's running down this hallway and he's having the best time of his life looking at her running the other way. This big old smile and he's running like this. What he didn't see was this wall waiting for his face. And at the last second he turned and kabang, forehead right into the wall. This big old tonkaboo. You could see this lump forming before your eyes. He's crying and crying in Chinese. I have no idea what he's saying. You know, what did I do as a loving dad? Yeah, you stupid kid. I told you, you know, watch for the wall. No, what did I do as a loving dad? I ran there and I picked him up, even though I didn't know what he was saying. I picked him up and I brought him close to me. In his weakest moment, I needed to be strong for him, to comfort him. Now, where did I get that? Where did I learn that? From a book? Did I get that from my dad? Not necessarily. Where did I get that? To love my son when he is hurting and he is weak. Whose image am I created in? The Father's image. We are created in His image. And that's exactly like our Heavenly Father. When we are at our weakest, when we're going through the most painful moment in our lives, that's when God is strongest. And He will come to you and He will hold you. See, God is not unfair. Life is unfair. Life is full of unfair circumstances and men and women's decisions that mess things up. But God is fair. God is loving. He loves you so much even though you don't realize. In fact, Romans 8:26 says this. It says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us and pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." You know what Paul is saying there in Romans? Sometimes we go through so much pain that we run out of words to say when we pray. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. You pray and you say, "Oh Lord, come on God, you got to fix this thing. Come on God, you got to answer. And Lord, you know this thing I'm feeling," and you keep going and going and going until you run out of words to say. I just don't know what else to say. And you feel like you've reached a dead end. You know what happens, folks? What Paul is saying in Romans? That's when the Holy Spirit steps in and He begins to pray for you. And He knows exactly what the Heavenly Father wants to hear. And the Holy Spirit starts to pray for you even though you are at your wit's end. That's how much He loves you. When you go through painful moments, God doesn't see that as a hurt to be wasted. Number two, would you fill this in? Hurts are not wasted in God's eyes. You will go through painful moments, but God will use everything. Romans 8:28 says that. He says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Underline two separate phrases. Would you underline "in all things" and then underline "God works"? In all things, God works. In suffering, He works. In pain, He works. In situations that don't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out, He works. And yes, even in death, God works. And He'll work to turn all things for His good to those who love Him. See, if you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, it's hard to live in this world. The world doesn't make sense, especially in death. Many of you were here when we had a testimony of Max and Erica Nevis at our Easter services, who talked about a time where their toddler, their three-year-old son, Joshua, contracted the H1N1 virus, and without them knowing anything about it, he passed away. It was almost an instant death. How do you deal with the loss of a three-year-old child so suddenly? Death alone is hard to deal with. To struggle with someone who's been suffering for years and years and years, that's hard to deal with. But to deal with the instantaneous loss of a three-year-old child, that is painful. I want you to meet another family. This family had five sons. Five sons who are doing very well in life. Their three oldest, 20 years old, 17, and 16 years old, went out for a drive one day down to Walmart to just do an errand. But on the way home, something happened. They not only lost one child, they lost all three. I want you to meet the Backstrom family, but before they come out, take a look at this.
Life is fragile. If you don't believe that, then you don't know why I'm sitting at these drums. Now, I have to tell you, I'm no drummer. But Jacob Backstrom was. Jacob Backstrom was a teenage kid like every other kid who loves to play the drums, no doubt. He drove his parents nuts with the noise. Until one Sunday, when Jacob was driving down the road with his brothers Matthew and Justin, a drunk driver collided into the front of their car, and in that crash, all three of them lost their lives. The Backstrom family has lived with indescribable pain. The kind of pain that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. And the kind of pain that raises the most serious questions about God and the most serious questions about life.
Nathan and Connie are here from Minnesota, so that's why the little chill in the air, you feel that. They're here to share their story with us. I want you to welcome Nathan and Connie Backstrom as they come out. Connie, Nathan. Well, I have a seat here in my living room, dressed it up just for you, and want to do a little talk story time. You know, I thought it would be good if we also invited Max and Erica Nevis. And we're going to see some similarities and some differences in how we process loss. So would you welcome Max and Erica Nevis?
Thank you.
Hey, so good for both of your families to come and join us. Thank you, Nathan and Connie, for flying all the way here from Minnesota. What was the temperature like when you left there, and what is it today?
This morning I checked, and it's all the way up to 1 degree.
All right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, take a little sunshine back home with you, would you?
I think we should miss the flight.
Yeah, miss the flight. Hey, you know, we know that you've suffered a great deal of loss and pain. You lost three children at once. And Max and Erica, you lost Joshua. It was almost an instant death. And that's so hard to deal with. Connie and Nathan, you have been Christians for a while. Does it get any easier, even though you're grounded in the faith? How did you handle that situation?
I'm just looking at the pictures now and the videos. And I do that a lot. I've seen that movie probably hundreds of times. And we are reminded daily, because they are all still living at home, we're reminded daily of the loss, of the emptiness, of the hole that was created in our lives. But through it all, we've learned that God has a purpose. And the purpose is to glorify Him. And it's been our privilege, and it's really been humbling to tell the story that we have been given.
It's a tough journey though, Connie, isn't it?
Oh, very tough. There are still times that certain things will come up and the tears will come, and it's like, okay, Lord, get me through this moment. I'll put one foot in front of the next. But He's faithful. He will be there to get us through. And it's okay to laugh, too. That's another really great gift that God has given us, the gift of laughter.
The fact that it happened 6 years ago, you still have the pain, though. The fact that you believe in the Lord, the fact that you trust in the Lord, does it ever take that pain away?
You know, it doesn't hurt as much now as it did when it first happened. But every time we share the story, especially in the high schools, we have to relive that first moment when the officers said that Matthew and Justin were killed. It still grips your heart. For the longest time, I felt like my bones were literally being crushed. But I trusted that God had a purpose. For years, I'd asked Him, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And I'm so thankful that He didn't tell me, because I wouldn't have had the grace. The grace wasn't there at that time.
Sometimes we want God to show all that to us ahead of life, but God knows that we can't handle that.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, Erica, you were at home. So Joshua had contracted a fever. Was it anything alarming that would have triggered that for you to notice something wrong with him?
No, like every parent that has a child, you know, he just had a fever. It was 101. It wasn't even a high temperature, and he was a little bit tired, but we had enrolled him in preschool, and so he had actually a doctor's appointment that day. He woke up, he had breakfast, you know, he was talking, so everything seemed very normal, nothing out of the ordinary. But when he went to take a nap before his doctor's appointment, he just basically never woke up from that nap. And, you know, I just remember Jesus was basically the first person I cried out to. Max was at home at the time, but I just remember saying, you know, Jesus, please help me. And you're just in such despair that where else can you turn but to God? And it was tough because we had so many people praying for Joshua. He went, you know, from the emergency room to the intensive care, and everyone was praying for him, and I kept telling Max, you know, where is it? Where is it? And he'd look at me and say, where is what? I said, where is our miracle? You know, we're just praying and praying and just hoping that God would perform a miracle. And when Joshua passed the next day, I just felt like, you know, where was God, right? And at that point, you know, unlike Connie and Nathan, who really praised God and was faithful from the beginning, my faith was really shaken at that point, and I really felt like He let me down. But I know now, a year and a half later, that I should have praised Him from the beginning, because it's only through His strength and His grace that I can even sit here today and still talk about the story.
But it's so hard to do.
It is.
Even though we know we should be praising Him, and we can do some, you know, exercises where we stand up and cheer, but when you're facing that moment, that's hard to do.
It is.
You know, Max, so you're looking at this sheet of paper and you're supposed to connect the dots. You're actually on your job when Erica calls you about Joshua's condition. What'd you do? What'd you see?
I lost my mind. I'm a roofing contractor, and I was up on a roof when I got the call. I got off of the roof and called her back, and Erica kept mentioning that Joshua was non-responsive. And customer was right in front of me. I immediately dropped down on my knees in the middle of the street and just started screaming to God, just praying, "Dear God, please be there for my son. Please don't let this happen. Please be there to protect him." And I ended up rushing down to Kapiolani. Actually beat the ambulance to the hospital from Kailua. And Yeah.
It's either you're really fast or you're really slow. One of those.
But there's no police officers in there. What was humbling was being there and all these doctors yelling out a code blue, and they're all looking at you, all of them looking at you, and I'm there and I'm like, where's my son? And as soon as they said that, they're dragging, pulling in my son, and it's just surreal. He's there and they're already on his chest pumping him, and a few minutes later, the head doctor there comes up to me, pushes me up against the wall and says, very bluntly, I fear for your son's life. I'll be honest with you, I'll be shocked if he makes it to the next room.
And what did you say to God? Did you ever feel like God had abandoned you?
I did. I raged against God because I've been a Christian 15 years. I've been with New Hope 15 years. I remember going to Manoah Park and just yelling at God with everything in me. Why weren't you there? Why? You know, people pray for parking stalls. People pray for their favorite football teams. And I was praying for my son, and you didn't show up. You didn't honor what the Bible says you would do. You would never leave me nor forsake me. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't leave me. He showed up when we really needed him. And that was after Joshua left. We prayed for his answer to be yes in regards to healing. And God said no. But in the midst, he came beside us and held our hands and carried us. Even now, while we're still in the midst of that valley. Still broken.
Yeah. And I know, Nathan, your cries went out to the Lord too. Something interesting about, you know, just comparing the two sets of circumstances, that neither of you were together when you got the news of the passing of your children. Erica, you're at home. Max, you're on a roof. Yeah. Connie, you were at home. Nathan, you were where?
How does that work? I'm an airline pilot, and I was in between flights in Minneapolis. Yeah. And we'd been talking on the phone, and she was saying, the boys aren't home yet. And we'd had an issue before that where they hadn't kept us up to date on where they were. And so we had grounded Jacob and Justin for a period of time and just wanted to remind them that they need to keep us posted on where they're at. And so we couldn't get a hold of them. They hadn't called. And it had been quite some time, and where are they? And I was going, well, what are we going to do with them this time? They didn't listen to us the first time. And so it was time for me to go, and I figured, well, they'll show up pretty soon. So I went to the next gate, and I was sitting in the cockpit of a Delta jet, going about my pre-flight duties like I'd done hundreds of times before. And at 9:33 p.m. on October 10th, 2004, my cell phone rang. And my life has never been the same since. Connie called and said, get off the trip. There's been an accident. And she wouldn't tell me why. And later I'm driving down the road and I call her back. And I tell her, what's going on? You have to tell me. And she did not want to tell me. She knew I was driving. And finally I pressed the issue. And she finally, reluctantly, in a voice that I'll never forget, she said, Matthew and Justin are dead. It's like a ton of bricks slammed into my chest. And I remember calling out their names and laying my phone down. You know, it's funny, after all this time, it still brings tears, you know. And I tell the story so many times, but the loss is so great, the hurt is so real. But I laid my phone down and I cried out in prayer, four simple words, calling on the God of the universe, dear Jesus, help me. Mm-hmm. And that's all I could say. Mm-hmm. And we went to his hospital room with the help of a great friend of ours from the Minnesota State Patrol. And we walked in his room that night, found him on life support. It took an hour and 25 minutes to cut him out of the car. And he never regained consciousness. And we were praying, and I was praying, Lord, heal him. And my prayer changed to, Lord, your will be done. And that night, as we held his hand, he officially left his life at 1:15 in the morning. And then I'd almost forgotten about Matthew and Justin. It seems inconceivable that I could forget about them, but Lieutenant Meyerson from the State Patrol said, we have to go to the morgue. And our job was to officially identify the bodies of Matthew and Justin. And I remember going into the morgue. At first, I remember sitting outside in the waiting area. And a dear lady we've come to know was getting things ready. And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? And as we looked at their broken and battered bodies, it became painfully aware that it was just a shell of the boys that we had known. Mm. Because they too had left this life.
And that was a struggle. I know it was a struggle. You know, Connie, giving a little bit more context so we can understand not only the loss that you had suffered, but having to deal with an internal conflict to love the other driver, the driver that caused the accident. And I know just from reading some of the reports that the driver had a blood alcohol content level of twice the legal limit. He was talking on his cell phone at the time, reaching for a CD on the floor and trying to overtake a car when this accident happened. And he gets to live, yet your three boys pass away. How'd you handle that conflict going on?
I guess the main thing is to believe that God is sovereign and He will work in the difficult circumstances of our life. If we don't believe that, then there's just despair left. I mean, there's no hope. If we believe that God is sovereign, we can trust Him with those hard things. I actually knew that the other driver had been drinking before we got to the hospital. And I'm like, okay, Lord, You knew this was coming. What do we do now? And I thought, you know, people often say, I can do what I want with my life. I can make my own choices. But they forget that their choices can often impact other people, not just themselves. What was I to do? I could either be angry and destroy myself and my family, or I could trust that God was going to use that energy of anger and not make it anger, but make it for something good, use it for good.
Yeah. It's a choice that you made and how you responded to that situation, as bad as it was.
And it is a choice. We can't change the consequences, but we can change, or we can choose how we respond to those consequences.
Yeah. You know, Max, you were sharing a little earlier something real interesting about, so you were angry, but somehow you have to refocus and rechannel that anger. How did you do that?
Well, I was very humbled after that experience of yelling up at the park, and I had a chance to speak to a friend of mine on the mainland, and he started kind of laughing a little bit, and I was a little offended at that, and he said, you know, Max, the reason why I'm laughing is you've been a Christian for about 15 years, and for that 20 minutes to half an hour that you were yelling at God, that was probably the happiest God has ever been with you, because He actually had your full attention. Your heart, mind, and soul was focused on Him and only Him. You weren't worried about the movies or what you were going to do this afternoon. You gave Him everything. And that's what He wants from us all around. And I think what really turned, two things I think turned it around for me and Erica. As you know, Erica was pregnant a few months after Joshua was born, and she had the miscarriage on Christmas Day. And it was at that point where I was so against the wall, I decided not to just read the Bible and to learn about God, but I decided just to praise God. When you read the Bible, He never says to read the Bible, but He always says to praise Me. Give Me the glory in the midst of everything, just like you were talking about with the game. And honest to goodness, I have a horrible singing voice, but I sang to God. I sang to God. I literally would just, you know, even learning, try to playing the guitar.
He knows one song.
One song.
You learned one song.
But that's more than I ever knew prior to all of this. And I really just gave my heart to God. And that's when it all turned around and we started, instead of focusing on our pain, we started focusing on other people's pain. And when you turn the arrows out and you put your heart towards the pain of other people, it takes a lot of strength to do that. And we're weak people. We're broken vessels. We're broken people. And they're broken people. But that's the best part. The best part is God works through broken people. And He gives you His strength to ride upon instead of your own. And truly, that's why we're here today. That's the true testimony, is the Lord's love. It's His strength.
And sometimes God doesn't just, you know, these circumstances that happen, it's not just a one-time thing. So, because Erica, you lost Joshua. You know, a few weeks, a few months later, you find out that you're pregnant again. We thought it was a rejoicing moment.
Exactly.
But as Max said on Christmas morning, you had a miscarriage.
Yeah, it's sometimes you feel like you're so human, but you want to figure everything out, right? I remember you telling Max he's Portuguese, but he's trying to figure out God, and why would you want to do that? But it's hard because, right? He's trying to figure out God.
It was
God.
In private, all right? It was in private.
But it was so hard because, you know, of course we had all the questions. Why did Joshua pass? Why wasn't he healed? And then we think, okay, God has blessed us now with this gift that we have, you know, the birth of a child to look forward to. And then to have that gift taken away, it was just, it's too overwhelming. And your brain, right, can't wrap itself around it. And you're trying to figure out, why would we have this gift? And then now back to back, we lost another child. And so it was really difficult. And I think in that midst, you just have to realize that you're not going to figure it out. You have to realize that some things are never going to make sense. Some things are going to be unfair. No matter if you feel like you're a good person or you're doing good things or you're going to church and you feel like you're on the right path, sometimes God just says, I'm going to take you on another path. And I think the greatest thing in that is learning to trust Him, because it's not easy to do.
Yeah, and as you trusted Him, now you are...
And now I'm pregnant again. And so we're... So now we're, you know, still praying that this is a healthy and safe pregnancy, and baby is due in April. So we have a few more months to go to meet this child, but we do feel very, very blessed.
Yeah. God turns all things, see?
Yeah.
When Max called me on Christmas morning, I don't remember this conversation, Max. You said, you know, He took Joshua from me, and now this miscarriage on Christmas Day. What else, God? What are you going to do with Easter?
Yes.
Remember you saying that to me?
That's right. I remember saying
and
that.
And now look, you're going to have a baby in April, which is around Easter time. You know, God works all things.
God has a sense of humor,
timing.
Doesn't
he?
He
has a sense of humor, yeah. He's not Portuguese.
He likes to mess with us Portuguese people.
He's not Portuguese. No. You know, Connie, what is a little different from Max and Erica's story and yours is that not only did you lose three, you have two still at home. You have Ryan and Charles, who are younger. And you needed to walk through not only your own sorrow and painful moment, but you had to be parents for them.
That was one of the big challenges is, okay, Lord, I need to keep it together for Ryan and Charles. We were a homeschool family, and I told our consultant, there's no way I can do this anymore. My brain just does not work. And she goes, this is not the time to change the routine. And I'm like, okay, if you'll do this with me, we'll try it. And actually, their SAT scores were pretty good that year.
Wow.
So, you know, it was like a gift from God. Part of me, if it hadn't been for those two boys, mm-hmm. I would have gone, forget it, I'm not getting up. Lord, just take me now. Mm-hmm. But because they were there, it's like, oh, Lord, I want to be with my boys in heaven with you, but I want to be here for these guys too.
Yeah.
And that was strong.
That's great. Such a great testimony of how we continue to live. Although we may lose our loved ones, the Lord has given us this life to continue to live. And what do we do with it? That's our choice. What's that gift? Nathan, we're talking about this gift that we can unwrap. It's wrapped up with pain, but when we can work through that, there's a gift that God has for us. What's that gift for you and your family?
Part of the gift is His purpose through it all. And also part of the gift is He's continually reminding us in our lives that what the Word says about His faithfulness and about His grace and about His mercy and about His love, it's true. His Word says it, and I believe it.
Yeah. The trust factor.
The trust
Very
factor.
Strong trust factor. What about for the Nevises? What's that gift for you?
I think the gift is the humble idea that an all-powerful God could go and fix things Himself. He could go and change things. but that he trusted us with the pain. Mm. He trusted us enough to send a 3-year-old little boy that changed my life. And that 3-year-old little boy is helping me to be a better man, even when he's not here. Mm-hmm. And that a woman, a mother who loves her son so much, can exhale, continue to love her little daughter, and choose to direct her heart towards loving God. That's a powerful thing. That really is. And in the midst of being able to work with her with this foundation we've put on, it's humbling to know that God is willing to use us to reach out to other people. In spite of the valley, everybody has a different valley, but if you accept Jesus Christ into your life, it's comforting to know who's in that valley with you. Yeah. You're not walking alone. Yeah. I think that's the gift, is that we know who we're walking with. We have a very strong relationship with Jesus Christ.
And thank you for sharing the gifts that you've received with everyone else. Your son Joshua and your 3 sons are providing ministry for thousands of lives. We've printed in your bulletins a website address that you can go to for the Nevises, a foundation that they've created, and also for the Backstroms. And you can go to their websites, and they're trying to help other families walking through the same problem. So you can go there and visit them, see their entire story, and see what God is placing on your hearts. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to be able to minister with you. You mind if we pray for you? Is it okay, guys, if we pray for them? Can I have you step this way? And if you'd be so kind as a church family to reach out this way towards these families, and we'll pray over them. Lord God, thank you again for a wonderful time of just sharing in your heart and your story, Father. The experiences, although they may be painful for both the Backstroms and the Nevises, are part of your story. Thank you for allowing them to make it a part of ours as well. We know that there are many who have lost loved ones. There are many who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But because of testimonies from the Backstroms and from the Nevises, to see how they're so willing to trust you in those dark moments, you've given us hope. Thank you for the hope, Lord, that only you can provide. We pray that you will bless these families as they continue to minister to thousands around the nation, families, schools, those who need to hear your good news, your gospel, and that many will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord God. We pray your blessings upon them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
the scars upon his hands to see if they were real. He has walked the road before me. He knows just how I feel. When you feel that there's not anyone who understands your pain, just remember all of Jesus' suffering.
Only God's hand can heal that brokenness on the inside, the pain that we may have and the seasons that we go through. It's only God's hand. See, sometimes we want to make sense of things, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, life will never make sense. It's only by receiving Him as Lord and Savior that we can begin to connect those dots. Let's pray. Father God, thank You, Lord, for being a loving God. We want to love You in return so many ways. Forgive us for the times that we've neglected that. Times that we never understood. Father, we want to lay ourselves before You today and just ask for Your continued guidance over our own lives. For the pain that we walk through, Father, we know we can trust in Your love, that even though we walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, Lord, we don't have to fear at all, for You are with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. Thank You, Lord, for being a loving God like that. For those here, Lord, that have not yet received You as Savior and Lord in their lives, I pray that You would touch their hearts even now as we pray. You know, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you would say, you know, that's me. I haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want a new start. Man, I struggled for so long. I can't make sense of a lot of things. But if I put my faith and trust in Him, to begin a relationship with Him, I know that He will show me, just like He's shown the Backstroms, just as He's shown the Nevises, just as Mary and Joseph trusted Him. Father, I want to trust You. If that's you and you've never yet received Jesus Christ and you want to do so now, would you raise a hand? You're saying, yes, that's me. Go ahead and raise a hand right now. Bless you, brother. Yeah, right here. Good. Anyone else? Keep your hands up so the heart, Lord, can see your hearts. Back there, sister. Yeah. Can you put your hands down? How many of you would say, you know, I need to start trusting God more, even in the things that I don't understand. I need to trust Him, and I do need to praise Him in all times. Father, that's me. Would You help me through this time that I'm going to You right now? Would you raise a hand? If doing so, you're saying, yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of guys go through that. Put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus Christ, we have a yes packet available for you. It's completely free. There's a Bible in there, material that's going to help you with your relationship with Him. As you exit, you'll see people holding up this yes packet. Go up to them and tell them the decision you just made. We want to celebrate this day with you. Join us at baptism, 3 o'clock today, Magic Island. We want to celebrate your new life with Him. Before we leave, can we say this prayer? I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to trust in you, not in my ways, but yours. Help me to live a life that's pleasing unto you. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. Thank you for being a God we can run to at all times. We praise you with all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say together, amen, amen. Would you welcome these who said yes for the first time?